B-Pod Studios.
Want to get an edge on who you should take in the games? Listen to what Joe and Dave, the Bankroll Boys, have to say. The Over-Under 98.5 podcast is available at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
They work.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you know if you guys have a roster exemption for Josh Gordon, or will you have to make a roster when he comes back?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment at all on that.
All right, it's Monday. Zoe's back from Nashville. Hi, Zoe.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Hardy's here.
Hi, Hardy.
Jim's
Hi.
Here. T-Bone's
Hi.
Here.
It's a good day because Hardy's
here. Loaded.
Hardy's allowed to park with the big boys now.
Yeah, that's right. Big dog.
We have the
big dog parking only.
We got a parking lot here at Beasley. It's a nice parking lot.
Oh, nice.
Park the cars.
The finest of parking lots.
But we have a nice little curb across the parking lot there next to this hellhole they're trying to redo over here, this Boston Landing thing. Yeah. And the big trucks parked over there. The big boy trucks.
Right.
You got to have a 20, 22-inch rim to park over there, and it's got to be all black.
It's just become a de facto parking spot for people with larger vehicles.
Yeah, larger SUVs all. And pickups.
Opening drive.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, I get to park there now.
Yep.
Thanks to our friends.
It's a nice truck.
Nice Shaw and Company, $495.
$495, Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Yeah.
Nice.
How you boys doing?
Good for you guys.
Good, good.
Yeah, me, I'm
good.
A Chevy guy down in McGee. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's all good.
Nice trucks.
How was your trip? You were not impressed with the Nashville game experience.
The in-game stuff, stadium. Now the stadium is a blueprint of Gillette. Which
it is
scary.
It's a copycat.
As I've said, Tom Brady's going to be very comfortable when he's the starting quarterback for the Titans next year.
Actually,
sort of the sight lines and maybe where the clocks are. You know when they go to the Super Bowl every year, and the Patriots are looking for the clocks. You know, Belichick's always. Really keen on making sure all the details are sorted out for his players. Guys, know where the play clock is. Know where the game clock is. Know where just sort of operationally some of the things are that you need to know going into every road game, and especially in the Super Bowl, the biggest game you play all year.
Right.
Brady knows where those things are when he is ready to play 8 games a year there.
And Vrabel's such a hardo. But, I mean, how much grab ass can you play with Brady prior to the game? I mean,
so
it was
much.
Ad nauseam.
So much grab ass.
Ah, you do it, Mike. Yeah, Tommy. Yeah,
but we covered that.
F you, F me. I know.
We covered it.
But, I mean, I had a hell day of travel Friday. I mean,
fog. Poor baby.
It was fog early. We had no plane. It got rerouted to Providence. People are scrambling, running to the next Nashville flight, trying to get on it because that thing was overbooked. It was a bitch to get down there. It really was.
Oh, well, you made it.
My God, Delta. If you fly Delta, the security lines at Delta.
Delta handles their own security now? It's not like any other regular airport where you just go through TSA?
Delta only has...
you go through them Delta security agents.
Well, obviously, you haven't flown Delta. It's Terminal A. It's only Delta right there. So it's Delta.
Yeah, again,
it's Delta
I just, it's, is it
what
their
about,
fault?
What about TSA pre-check? You got the pre-check?
Pre-check line was out the door, too. So it didn't matter if I had pre-check.
Again, I'm just wondering if the blame belongs on Delta, considering they don't do the security.
I talked to them. They said it's been like this all summer. Said it's been like this.
Yeah, right.
Ridiculous. Out the door.
Why don't you call out TSA if you want to call someone out? Why are you calling out Delta?
I'm gonna call my state police, guys, next time. But I mean, we'll be with the team.
I don't know if that's gonna do anything for you.
Disagree.
State police get you through airport security?
Yeah.
Okay.
Happened at United that time. Remember?
Okay.
When the guy was listening.
Well, here's what I want to know. You didn't fly back commercial. You flew back with the team.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. You're around the team,
right?
Yeah. What were they saying about Josh Gordon getting reinstated? What's the word on the street?
That they're going to do as much to re-ingratiate
him.
What's
the word in the center aisle of that Boeing 767?
I think they've been waiting for it. I think not that they knew this was going to happen. I think this obviously couldn't have come at a better time. You had Maurice Harris go down last week. Philip Dorsett gets nicked up on Wednesday. So you're down two guys right there. I'm watching these guys warm up again. And you know what I think of this group to begin with. And I think we've, anybody that's listened to our show, this is not one of the best receiving groups we've seen in 10 years or 14 years. 06, I think, may have been worse. That's it. You have to go back to really 2006 to say this is an semblance of maybe one of the worst groups. And I finally got to see Demaryius Thomas, saw him on the sideline. So I at least know who he is, and I've actually seen the body. I know there's reports of him actually running straight ahead and sprinting this week, but I think he's going to start on pup, and they're going to do that to secure another roster spot for somebody, and that's sort of a safe bet. You know, I don't know what they're expecting from him at the beginning of the year, but you're basically down to Olszewski, Myers, who just continues to just make plays, and Berrios. Now, we had a chance to chat with Dontrell Inman in a little pregame chat and our production stuff, and just based on how I felt and what I got from him, I didn't think it was long for here. Not shocked by his release.
Well, what did he say in the pregame chat that
kind of relating San Diego to here.
What was his attitude?
You know, preseason's different than regular season, and you kind of got to know how to crank it up there. And then when you get to the playoffs, it's a whole nother different ball of wax. Just one of those thinker types, you know? Instead of it just didn't seem like, you know, you normally get around one of these Patriot players and you typically know what the answer's coming, right? I mean, they're trained. He was sort of just a little outside thinker, and you know my experience in San Diego, and
so he sort of indicated he was sort of slow playing things in the preseason.
Slow playing it, but I just got to worry. He gave you the I just got to worry about me, you know, worry about me. I don't have to. I don't really. You know, I'm a veteran, so I've been in huddles, you know, where we're trying to get the point to him that how much do we read into you not really being in any number one huddles or catching balls from Tom Brady, and then he just has to worry about what he has to do. He said. So I said, well, that's not long for here.
Mike Giardi had this tweet that caught my attention a couple of days ago. He said two things on Josh Gordon. Number one, if the league / Goodell has taken, he says the league and Goodell has taken, not if, but it has, taken a special interest and care in his rehab for years. And number two, the notion that the Patriots were planning for Gordon when roster building is nonsense. They signed vets in Inman and Harris and rehab projects.
Meredith. Yep.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, they have bodies. It's just, now this is a good body. This is a productive body. Josh Gordon.
And he referenced Demaryius Thomas as well. He said, we have projects in Demaryius Thomas.
I'd take Demaryius Thomas right now over some of this crew, like Inman and Meredith and these guys that I haven't seen.
No, just no. And so my feeling is that the team is sort of selling that we knew this was going to happen all along.
No, I completely disagree with
that. Like, we knew that it was going to happen.
I think based on their reaction and the excitement, you don't react the way you react in surprised and, oh, yes, all right.
Well, is that how they...
Let's hurry up and tweet out the pictures of me hugging him.
Okay, so players reacted that way, right?
I think they...
So that's genuine.
I think they knowing who the league is, who runs the league, who makes these decisions, and based on how some decisions have been made against your organization, I don't think they expected Josh Gordon to be activated anytime soon.
Okay, that's what I thought was going on.
I think they are pleasantly surprised Josh Gordon got reinstated. It's like it fell right in your lap Friday, and we're like, whoa, our text chain, whoa, mood at the hotel, whoa, wow, okay. Now you're scrambling to get our ducks in line. Now, what do? Do we comment on this? No, we're going to release a statement. We're going to release a statement. You know how that went during the game. Put out a statement for a reason. Boom, there it is.
I'm surprised you asked him about it in your pregame interview.
Well, I handled it differently, I think. Yeah.
Didn't you ask pretty much the same question, though?
I did.
All right, last one for you. A couple of receivers go down, Dorsett and Harris over the week. I know Harry's dealing with some issues. The league yesterday announced that Josh Gordon reinstated the organization, the Patriots organization. You guys released a statement earlier today. Do you have anything to add off of that?
No, I think that pretty well covers it.
All right, Coach, good luck tonight. Stay healthy, and we'll see you after the game.
All right, sounds good, Scott. Thank you.
All right, throw back the Beetle at the Sports Hub Studios.
Yeah. No follow-up. Like, you sure you don't add to that?
Well...
don't press.
Come on. I think Reese, you guys both asked questions that would have set him up to give you nothing.
Yeah.
You and Burton. Burton, for some reason, asked him if he was sure, which is just mind-blowing.
Well, joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. Before I even want to talk about the first half, I do want to bring up Josh Gordon because you put out a statement earlier today. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Okay. All right.
Not at all. What do you mean not at all? He just told you no. What do you mean? Are you double checking?
The man that doesn't have a play sheet or refer to anything that he holds in his hands because it's all in his head.
All right.
Ask him if he's unsure.
But I would just say that the question, when you ask him if he wants to add anything, he needs to just say nope.
Nope.
Reese did a good job post-game when he asked just about roster spots and roster management.
Because he knows he has to make a move.
Right. He asked specific. He didn't even ask about, you know, status of Gordon. He didn't ask anything about Gordon.
Well, this affects guys.
He asked just about the roster and about how do you manage the number of guys on your roster if you're bringing back a player. And this is not about his status or what Josh Gordon has been up to or what you think of Josh Gordon. None of that. And even Reese couldn't get an answer out of him on this.
Do you know if you guys have a roster exemption for Josh Gordon, or will you have to make a roster move when he comes back?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment at all on that.
Oh, man. I mean, this is like pulling teeth now. Yeah. I'm just trying to get him to say anything at all about Josh Gordon.
Which is interesting because he speaks today, and we're going to go to that, correct?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Bill Belichick is going to speak at 11:30-ish and around there. So we're going to hear his press conference live today on the show. But there has been a report on what's happening with Josh Gordon and how he's being managed roster-wise. Why don't we get into that in your calls and more reaction on the Josh Gordon front. We're also going to get into Saturday's game. Yep. We have that to sort of talk about and some of the things we saw, including the quarterback play in that game, which took a little bit of a dip from game one. We'll do all this today. Some football items, obviously some baseball news over the weekend with Chris Sale as well. A lot to get to on a Monday here on Zolak and Bertrand, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Josh Gordon making the announcement this morning that he is stepping away to focus on his mental health. But the backdrop to that announcement is what I am told is Josh Gordon facing once again indefinite suspension for violating the terms of his reinstatement under the substance abuse policy.
At 8 a.m., it was described to me as they went into their team meeting. Bill Belichick addressed them and told them the news. One player saying to me, "That's when we found out. I was shocked. I didn't see that coming."
This is a day that the Patriots always knew could happen and always knew that at any moment Josh Gordon could post a statement just like that and walk away from the game. Whether he returns this season, next season, never again, I don't know that anybody knows.
Have you received any clarity on what Josh Gordon would have to do to come back or when he could come back?
It's a league matter, so we'll let the league handle that, and when we're notified accordingly, whatever that process entails, then you know we'll follow the rules accordingly. So that's a league matter.
How was it working with Josh Gordon during the offseason?
With Josh, there wasn't many opportunities, but he was around, and I needed someone to catch. So I've always enjoyed playing with him, and obviously hope everything works out for him, and I'm hoping the best, certainly.
We don't have anything to do with Josh Gordon. This is not, you need to talk to the league. We have no control of Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, conditionally reinstated by the Patriots, and he will be allowed to make his return to the team. Won't be allowed to play until at least the final preseason game, if he's allowed to play in the final preseason game. No guarantees on when he is allowed to play. I think people need to understand that part of it. That it's not a guarantee. It's a conditional situation that if everything goes well, he could be allowed to play by that point, could be allowed to play by week one, but it's not really known. What we know for sure is there's no way he'd be able to play by this week. So don't expect to see him out there playing Thursday night when the Patriots return home for their third preseason game. So this morning, The Bill Belichick statement happened over the weekend, and this is from Mike Florio, who writes about the situation last night. He says, Gordon's addition to the roster has come with his placement on the non-football injury list. He counts towards the 90-man roster, but he's not yet passed a physical and can't practice. A league source suggested, based on Coach Bill Belichick's cryptic statement, that the team may be inclined to stash Gordon on NFI into the regular season, allowing them to bring him back for the stretch run instead of losing him in the stretch like they did in 2018.
Ooh.
It's also possible that Gordon simply failed his conditioning test and that he'll be on the active roster soon. Regardless, he's back on the roster, but he won't be back at practice until he passes a physical.
It's interesting.
So we talked on Saturday when this all came out, and we were talking pregame, postgame. You know, they could have stashed him on PUP. They could have put him there, and he could have been allowed to, you know, work his way back. They could have done that in terms of managing the roster, but they go with NFI. That means no practice. Yep. That means that's it. You're out.
Yeah.
And usually when you go on NFI, usually you spend a little bit of time there, it feels. The guys who've been put on that.
I think they need to find out, and I think it's clear. I think Bill's like, we got to get him in a program, figure out what it is.
Like, we're not going to hear about him practicing this week.
Right. I wouldn't expect him.
No, he's not going to be at practice this week.
No, you won't see it anyway, even if he is. I mean, yeah, camp's over.
I hear this, and I think he's weeks away from hitting the practice field.
Yeah, and I think they look at it as, okay, we got Pittsburgh. Can we win that Pittsburgh game at home once Edelman's back without him?
So are they going to stash Josh Gordon now?
They could stash him, and you got the three schleps up after that.
And not for the stretch run, but is it for, you know, weeks? Is it, we're not aiming for week one. We're aiming for week three. We're aiming for, you know, that type of thing.
You can't buy that theory, though. That theory goes out the window with a guy like Josh Gordon. It's not like he has a hamstring and you're stashing him so he doesn't get hurt again. He could go off the wagon, on the wagon, whatever it is.
Right.
At any point in time. You can't just because he's not playing in games for week one through week eight doesn't mean he's mentally going to be okay to play during the stretch run, like Florio says.
Well, I'm just talking about... Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just talking about... I'm not saying stretch run. I'm saying, are they aiming for a week other than week one?
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Florio's theory there, that they're saving him for the stretch run.
Well,
like,
I wouldn't
he's
do
some
that.
Guy that has, like, bad knees, and they wanted to get the most... No, it's not the case.
I would not do that. It's not like... You're right. It's not like he got... Who was the guy who got into, a motorcycle accident years ago? They're players. You know, they're players that have been in...
Ben Roethlisberger?
Situations. No, I wasn't thinking of him, but he is one of them. There are players who have been in situations where they've gone on NFI and they're rehabbing a knee injury that was not caused by football. And they're like, yeah, I'm hoping to be back in October or November.
Edelman's right. NFI, right?
He is.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, sort of interesting.
Well,
but
he can't practice this week.
Who was the Lions player that broke his leg in a car accident when he was trying to keep the pizzas from sliding off the street?
Media personality, Nate Burleson.
Yeah. It was Burleson.
Yeah.
Superstar guy. He's going to be like the next Strahan.
Yeah. He was trying to keep the pizzas stable. I
watched Strahan on $100,000 Pyramid last night.
Yeah.
By the way. Isn't that good?
Why is he doing so many things?
I don't know.
Because he likes money.
Yeah, he's not good.
Oh, I don't blame him.
The show's not good.
Second.
He's not good.
Like, he's too thinned out. Stick him with one thing and go. I thought, just like, leave him on Good
Who's
Morning America.
His business partner is going to be doing the same stuff, right, Brady? No?
Yeah. Like if they ask you to do it, you're turning
it down.
Oh, I do
it second. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you stink at it, he's no good at it. He's not.
You think he's having fun at it? Like, it looks like...
No.
To me, he has fun on that NFL pre and post thing.
Yeah.
Every time he checks his bank app, he has fun.
Good Morning America. Looks like he could have fun with those guys. That's Michael and Sarah's show. Doesn't look like he's having fun. It's like an odd show. It's weird. Whatever. Good for him.
617-779-0985. But I hope that it's not the thing that Florio suggests there. For the stretch run?
How long stretch run, so, you're bring, so you would bring him in, basically Demaryius Thomas, into your lineup at the same time.
Like, at what point?
I don't know.
Stash him into the regular season.
What does he look at as a stretch run? Is his stretch run November?
What is the stretch run?
Yeah, like, which one? Where's your stretch run?
The last half of the season, is that the stretch run? You play the first 8 games without Josh Gordon?
I'd say 4 weeks before Kansas City, and then Kansas City.
No, weeks 1 through 7 are easy. Weeks 8 through 13 is their season.
Yeah. So
we said that before. We said that when the schedule came out.
So week 8 is when they bring him out.
Yeah, angry man up there.
That feels like...
Sorry, I just looked up what Strahan makes, $17 million for Good Morning America and his talk show.
just for those two shows?
Yeah, Zoe would definitely be doing all this stuff.
Zoe, do you think Zoe?
But does he have to go do a $100,000 pyramid to get his $17 million?
No, it's an additional source of income.
Yeah, it's garbage. It's not good. He's not good at it. I don't know why that. I don't know why they put him in. I don't know why he does it.
Tom said it's the same agency that Brady just signed with.
Oh,
good.
Strahan.
Well, maybe we'll see Tom. Maybe we'll see Tom on what
was that briefcase show that Howie Mandel used to
do? Deal or No Deal.
Deal or No Deal.
I like that.
Do you know there's a similar type of show now where they spin a wheel?
Yeah.
Have you seen this one?
Wheel of Fortune.
No, not Wheel of Fortune. Where they spin a wheel and then they answer trivia questions that determine what they put in the slots on the wheel.
Oh, Wheel or No Wheel.
No, it's not Wheel or No Wheel. I'll get the name.
We should play that.
And I believe the host is Dax Shepard is the host of the show.
That's his real name. Yeah, that's his real name. Dax Shepard.
Yeah, Dax Shepard. He's married to Kristen Bell.
Oh, Kristen Bell. Another one. Her name.
Yeah, he's hosting this wheel show. Mm. You got to see it. I watched it once. And then what they do is they say, do you want to spin again or do you want to take the offer? And they keep offering you buyouts to just leave and take a buyout. Yeah. So it's similar to Deal or No Deal.
Well, it's similar to...
It's called Spin the Wheel is what it's called.
And kind of similar to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Yeah. You can take the money right now or you can answer another question.
I mean, Dak might be really funny.
But but you have to answer. I think the deal is you have to keep spinning no matter what. There's another. You play in a team. There's like a tandem or someone has to also decide before.
Like two wheels? Like a tandem bike?
No. There's someone behind like a curtain that plays with you.
There's a wizard?
Hits the button before you spin to determine two if wheels, take the buyout. It's sort of convoluted.
Oh, you think?
It's a little convoluted.
Between the wizard and the button and the two wheels
the offers? The Great and Powerful Oz.
You know what I like?
Yeah.
Jeopardy. Do you know it?
It's a classic.
Yeah, or not.
It's a classic.
It is.
Every night, 7:30.
A little bit of gambling, you know.
A little bit of wagering.
A little bit.
A little bit of wagering.
True daily double. Yeah.
But as far as Josh Gordon goes, the team desperately needs him. There's no downside to this.
They need and I think it's to what I said 2 weeks ago. They need bodies that are like professional receivers. Real guys that can play. And I'm not talking Pro Bowl guys, just guys that can function in a real game. Like, do you really think Berrios and Olszewski and I'm not even sure about Harris. Like, Harris should have had two more touchdowns in that Detroit game when you really look at it. Like, he should have blown doors off those clowns.
Johnny's in Dorchester. What's up, Johnny?
Hey.
I'm
just calling in on Gordon and his suspension, his condition. Do we have any idea what the
good call.
Is?
Okay, your phone is not good, but your comment line said this. It seems like Josh Gordon is the only guy getting suspended for weed. Thank you for both being wrong and also helping me prove my point to Chris Gasper on Saturday.
Oh,
the overwhelming perception on Josh Gordon is that he is suspended for weed, which I think that's what most people believe, right?
That's what most people believe. Yes.
I'd say 9 out of 10 people believe, this guy got suspended just for weed. And so I think the NFL is aware of that and conscious of that, and that's part of the reason why they were so quick to allow him back in. I think it actually favors him.
But
the perception of his suspension favored him in this.
But if that were the case, if it were weed and a whole bunch of other stuff that was, you know, quote unquote worse, the NFL could fix that by simply releasing a statement about it and saying, you know, no, that's not it. He's not suspended.
But they don't because of player confidentiality. Right, they don't have the right to do that.
They don't. Okay, so yeah. So they can't. They can't.
But Josh Gordon, by his own admission, has said that it's codeine, that it's it's marijuana, it's alcohol abuse. It goes beyond. It's other drugs that he has taken that go well beyond just marijuana. That he dabbles in more than just marijuana. And there have been reports that say he has tested positive. Again, reports, so anonymous sources, that say he has tested positive for other drugs that go well beyond marijuana. So I don't think he's ever really shied away from it. The interviews he's done has said that he's done all kinds of different things. But the perception is it's marijuana, and that's what he's being suspended for. I think that's helped him in this, believe it or not.
Well, I think it could be a move toward, and I heard this over the weekend, and I agree with it, and I thought the same thing after it happened. After, you know, a guy gets essentially 5 games after what was an indefinite suspension, and for a player who had been suspended for an entire season before, it could be a signal that down the road the NFL maybe loosening their grip on the whole notion of not necessarily drug testing, but certain drugs being death sentences for players.
Well, mental health and substance abuse, you know, sort of those categories of drugs, right? And those two things going hand in hand. And taking a softer stance on those things and focusing on rehabilitation as opposed to punishment, right? I mean, these aren't the same things that guys are taking it.
No.
In their mind, cheat the game and get better you need to be punishing for, right?
No.
And so I think that's what the league is sort of shifting to. They've taken a softer stance from what they previously had. I also think Jay-Z and Robert Kraft being in the league office, possibly. I don't know that they were there for sure, but they wrapped up that deal last week. I don't think that could have hurt.
No, but I think it's the cushioning of everything, and you sort of looked at this in a different light over the years, and whether it's mental illness, whether it's weed, I think the league obviously has to adjust. You can't stay angry old guy all the time. Oh, you're not going to play. You smoke weed, you know, or you're not. You're crazy. You get out of here. Like, I think you got to be more open-minded to these two things, the mental illness and the weed.
Let's get back to the game on Saturday night. And
by the way, if you want to, we've got the whole list of stuff that Gordon has admitted to using. If you want to do it on the other side, or do you want to? I don't know
how many items are on it.
It is two paragraphs worth of stuff that he's talked about.
We'll do it.
Want to do it now?
Yeah, let's mention that. Just read it off on the other side, and then we'll also talk about the game on Saturday night because there were some things that came out of that game, good and bad. For the Patriots. We'll do that coming up, as well as some guys that did not play in Saturday. And what does that mean for those players? Does that mean they're locks? We'll get to all this coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second and three. Rock in motion to the right with a quick flip out to the left of court. Makes the catch. Runs to the five. Spinning inside the three and diving for a first and goal to go across the two.
Flash. Da-da.
Flash.
Da-da.
The way you do it right there. Little slant to the left side. It's a quickie out to him. I'm covered. Flash. Da-da.
Seemingly there is no reason for these extraordinary intergalactical upsets. Only Dr. Hansard.
All right, Artie, give us the list of things that Flash Gordon admits to have taken. Not just weed. But the perception is just weed.
This is from Jim Lyle sent it to him.
Okay.
Oh, from GQ.
It's a recap of two different pieces he did. One GQ. In Sports Illustrated and one GQ. In GQ.
Yeah.
He told Clay Skipper of Gentleman's Quarterly, he first started self-medicating with Xanax, marijuana, and codeine in middle school.
Nice. Hmm.
He said his initial usage stemmed from social awkwardness, anxiety, feelings of inadequacy, adolescent trauma-based fear. When he was in seventh grade, he took a whole bar of Xanax and ended up nodding off and drooling in class.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Where do you get a Xanax bar?
Well,
like
it's a
candy bar?
It's a pill.
Oh!
They call them bars,
though. Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that.
That you call pills bars?
You call Xanny bars. Yeah.
Did you know that, Beetle?
No, I did not know.
Okay.
Right.
And you take pills.
You know, Beetle loves pills.
No, but I never knew you termed it.
Well, Xanax is got these lines in it, right?
Okay. So you can break them easily
yeah.
for, you know, to, you know, adjust your dosage.
Let's load up, baby.
Looks like a candy bar.
Peers started laughing at him. Teacher's back was turned. I just kind of raised my hand. I asked to go to the restroom. That was my first experience of a high in seventh grade.
Whoa.
So I was definitely out of control. He was expelled from two middle schools for stealing electronics from other students, and his usage continued during that time. He got a basketball scholarship at Westbury Christian prep school in Houston, thrown out, though, in the 10th grade for marijuana, then attended and graduated from Lamar High, a public school in Houston. He also joined a gang, the Six Deuce Harvard Park Brim Blood. Ooh. That's a very wordy name for a gang.
Sounds thuggy.
Which involved carrying and shooting a gun, never maliciously, he said, stealing cars, fighting, scamming businesses with counterfeit money, and dealing drugs. He said he sold drugs, mainly marijuana, to feed himself, just to have, you know, food money. Said he smoked marijuana every day and drank vodka from Minute Maid bottles during class. He also started drinking codeine syrup mixed with soda his junior year.
Scissorp
in Houston, right? We've heard of that before.
Jolly Ranchers.
And experimented with Xanax, hydrocodone. That's hydrocodone is
codeine.
No, hydrocodone. It's not. They're not oxys. They're what do you call them? The other painkillers.
I don't know, but hydrocodone.
Vicodin.
Opioids.
Vicodin.
Yeah. Nice.
Those are Vicodins.
That's an opioid.
And oxycodone at nearly every opportunity. Before football games.
He probably never pooped.
Gordon said, binds you up.
Yeah.
Before football games, Gordon said he would chug Mad Dog 2020, flavored fortified wine.
Boone's wine.
To gauge whether he could play drunk. Gordon told GQ his usage became the norm in high school and said it was on an accelerated pace by the time he turned 20 years old. I mean, how good that guy was to succeed.
No kidding. How do you get that cut to
each level and just be high all the time or drunk? It's unbelievable.
I can't picture going to play a football game. Oh. So you know what? I'm going to have the flavored Boone's wine along with Chuck Mad Dog 2020 just to get the buzz going. It'd be puking everywhere.
But again,
head taken off.
He's not doing it to increase his performance. He's doing it to alleviate anxiety and stress. And what I don't discount the mental illness part of this, or the depression, or whatever it is he's dealing with. It's serious, you know, well-adjusted seventh graders don't start doing this stuff. And if they do it, it scares them off of it because, wow, that's not a good way to feel. But for Josh Gordon, it probably said it's better than feeling the way I did before I took it. Or at least I'm feeling something other than just fear or whatever it is that he was tormented by. So this has been going on with Josh Gordon for a long time.
Yeah, and it's, again, I think the perception that he's been suspended for weed may have helped him in all this.
Yeah.
Because the league is saying, you know, we want to help you get healthy and get back. And people think you're just being suspended for weed, and that allows us to just end this thing and try and get you back in the fold and get you under the supervision of a team and have your team help you with whatever it is that they've been helping you with during this time. So I think all that plays into it. Why don't we do this? We'll get back to the game on Saturday night and some of the locks, guys that didn't play on Saturday, and we'll do that coming up next. 617-779-0985. So don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Patriots 2 of 6 on third down. Empty backfield. Patterson and Myers left. Brossette is right. Throws towards the end zone. Up in the air. And it is caught for a touchdown. Damon Patterson with the reception from 23 yards. Stidham just threw it up where only he could catch it. Nicely done on the back shoulder throw down near the goal line. Patterson, it took time to see. The official took his time to make the official call, but he kept both feet in. It's tough, though. That left foot landed. May have been on the line. We'll see. But right now, it's ruled a touchdown for the Patriots.
okay. If you look at just the numbers from Jarrett Stidham on Saturday night, you might think he had an okay night. He was not as good in game two as he was in game one.
Oh, no. No. And game he played, one, he really jumped and popped and stood out.
Yeah, he played against a better team in game two, is what happened.
Which can actually help you make you a better player. Now, him going out and playing the way he did in game one, how's he going to learn from those two mistakes where he should have picked sixes on two throws? Like, those are late throws out to the side where you better see it or you better get rid of that ball. And I just think that and it's really an indicator of Tennessee's just a better coach team. They were more ready to go after the joints than the Lions were. You hear the team talk about it. You be around them and how intense the practices were this past week as opposed to the previous week. Now, coaches control that too. But I just think when you ramp up talent like that, there's a little extra there. It got chippy at times down in Tennessee. You didn't hear that in Detroit. Kid made some nice throws in the game, though. I thought he had to deal with poor field position multiple times, which he did not have to do in Detroit. You're driving the ball from your own four, from your own one. And it looks like Hoyer took a really good shot on that left shoulder on a blindside hit. You got Colbert hit, which Bummer. I think forced Stidham into the game. I think at the four-minute change mark of that second quarter, where maybe you wouldn't have seen him until halfway through the third probably. I think that expedited his playing time. But I thought he overall was better in game one. I think that's obvious. But he made some real nice throws in the second half. But a lot of them are just crosser darts, and that's where his forte, his accuracy takes over. That's some of the benefits to have a kid like him. He's an accurate thrower.
Right. You look at his day, 14-19, 193, a touchdown, no picks, and a quarterback rating of 123.4. You're like, wow, what a day.
Well, what's that rating if you throw two pick sixes? You know
that's my point. Yeah. Because you look at it, if you watch the game, you're like, oh, well, that was, yeah, that seven-minute drive, the 99-yard drive there.
I think there were two times when the ball was just coming out of his hands, and I screamed, three times. No! It's just that natural reaction. Like, you see it developing. Like, that kid's jumping it.
Yeah. So.
But he moved well in the pocket again.
His strengths, though, still come through.
It's still two really good gamesmanship type games with him, meaning can you function? Do you have to sit there? Oh, we don't have the right personnel. Do I blow a timeout here? Oh, shoot, I forgot where I'm going with this ball. It seems like it's 1, 2, 3. It's progression for him. He knows where he's going with the ball. And that goes to coaching too. That goes to getting kid ready to play. Because he doesn't come from the Baylor or the Auburn type offenses where you're getting cold bird shot at every single play and everything's about stretching, laying the ball in zones, as opposed to Josh McDaniels and Mick Lombardi coaching you up.
I'm going to tell you this. He looks better than Jacoby Brissett ever looked at this point.
I agree with that.
And I think he looks better than Jimmy Garoppolo looked at this point.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm saying at this point.
The way Jimmy threw, you could tell you had something.
Yeah, but.
But Jimmy was not a good practice player. He looked terrible. He looked terrible in camp.
At this point.
I'm with you. But I would take Garoppolo over this kid. And you know I am with Garoppolo.
And you don't like Garoppolo.
You're sort of down
on Garoppolo.
I question the toughness. Maybe this kid's tougher. Maybe if I get to see this kid more and, you know, maybe he gets whacked a couple times and he hangs in there. This kid might be tougher. I mean, he got his head taken off down at Auburn. Playing SEC.
And again, the fact that I'm saying that doesn't mean I think he's any good either. Because he's ahead of both of those guys.
That's all. I mean, this kid played against really good strength of competition, you know, strength of schedule in college. For the years that he played, Jimmy did not. And Jimmy came from a small school, and Jimmy showed you could he play, he could throw. Stidham looks better than
a lot of the crap bag guys that they've had come through.
I agree. I watched some of these other guys, these backups across the league. You watch some of these games, like, flipping through over the last 2 days, and I take Stidham over them. Yeah.
I'm talking like the Kevin O'Connells of the world.
Well, Kevin O'Connell, too, was a third-round pick. They ended up cutting him, year two? Yeah, they cut him year two. Yeah. Hoyer, I think, beat him out as an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
Hoyer, your guy.
I mean, they did have a few good guys over the years that worked out, Hoyer being one of them, Castle being another.
Hoyer had a terrible pick early. But after that, you know what he did? Can you correct the mistakes that you make and come back from it? And I think both quarterbacks did that the other night.
Hoyer not so hot the other night.
No, terrible throw on the pick.
Yeah, really not good.
And Berrios kind of faded upfield, too. I went back and looked at it a second time. It's It's kind of on both, but yeah, it was a bad throw. Should have thrown it. I didn't see it. He was not coming.
Not open. A great route, not a great throw.
No.
Blame goes to both. Hoyer was, of course, the vet, tried to take all the blame for it, put it on himself, but I'd put it on both of those.
You know, and they pumped the tires of both these young kids. Again, these slot guys, the so-called little white guys, the Olszewski and Berrios that fit the mold of the Patriots slot receiver that we hear about all the time. I didn't think they played well the other night. They didn't jump. They didn't pop. Tell you what, Myers pops, though. How does this kid go undrafted? I have no clue how this kid
Why did
undrafted.
He play so much in the game? Why was he out there in the
fourth
quarter?
Bodies. You have no bodies. You're
so
down to
just
nothing.
The bodies thing. Last week, he's on the bench in the second half. This week, he's out there into the fourth quarter.
I think the fact he played and the fact he still played with twos and threes and fours is going to help him even more make this club. And I'm watching Brady react to him. Brady's reacting to his moves and his ability to get open. Chat with Troy Brown, too. Troy Brown's been working with this guy. Saw Troy out there, and he's been traveling with the team. And, man, if you could get this kid open – and that first 5 yards, that's everything. That's Brady getting the ball out of his hand. He needs somebody opposite Edelman. Can't just double Edelman all the time. But this kid's got some size to him. You walk by him, and he's bigger than anybody. He's bigger than any receiver they have.
Myers?
Dorsett, yeah. Dorsett's a tiny guy. Myers has got some size to him.
Height. Height-wise.
Yes.
I was going to say, he's not like a big guy.
No, but man, that Jo'Wan Williams, whoo, linebacker.
Big dude.
Yeah. Mel Fonwu, too. Man, he's bigger than Mel Fonwu. Yeah, Williams is going to be your Brandon Browner. I'm starting to see resemblances of 2014, where you have a really good cover guy that you could island. Okay, you had Revis Island, right? Remember when they brought Browner in?
Sure.
And you played those bigger receivers, you'd take Browner, you would match him up, you'd jam him, and you would have help over the top.
And Williams is the guy that's
Is the guy, and he was running with Davis the other night. That's pretty good. That's a number 8 pick overall in the draft. That kid's good.
Yeah. You see Chad Johnson's, Chad Ochocinco's tweet the other night?
What did he do?
He tweeted, Jo'Wan Williams is going to be special. He tweeted that yesterday at 2:00 in the afternoon. Wow. He must have been watching a replay of the Pats game from the night before.
Yeah.
That's what he tweeted. Jo'Wan Williams is going to be special.
You don't see him get beat like by that 5 yards and somebody's got to recover. If he gets beat, like it's a step, but he's, boom, he's right there in your hip. And that's interesting how Vrabel challenged that, you know, non-call on a PI the other night, but Bill didn't challenge J.C. Jackson on an underthrow where he turned in at great positioning. I wonder how they're going to use this stuff moving forward. I was shocked building.
I think only
that was clear to me that Jo'Wan Williams interfered with him, but it wasn't. That's not enough to get the thing overturned, apparently.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
It's got to be ridiculously blatant. It's not just clear and obvious. It's ridiculously blatant.
I think you've got to knock the guy to the ground or something. I think that's what's going to happen. You're going to have to tackle the guy to get the thing
overturned. They said that. They said it's going to have to be clear and obvious, right?
Well, no. I think it's going to go beyond that. I think it's going to have to be.
Was it clear and obvious that he pulled Corey Davis by the hip? Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was. On replay, it is. But I think what it's going to take.
That didn't impede Davis from getting the ball. The ball was looked at it.
It's just because he got his hands on the ball. That's the reason.
No, that ball. Now, if I think Mariota set his feet through that and there was contact there, they may have called that.
I think
they went back and looked. That was a late throw and that ball hung.
When they say clear and obvious, I think what they need to sort of clarify, are you saying clear and obvious pass interference? Because every time this gets reviewed, you can see clear and obvious pass interference.
Sure, you could.
Or are you trying to say it needs to be clear and obvious that the ball would have been easily caught?
Clear and obvious to my daughter.
No.
Not clear and obvious to...
No, don't do any clear silly, obvious. Stupid things like that. I'm saying clear and obvious...
Jim, your daughter's different.
Clear and obvious that the player would have caught the ball without any sort of, you know, extra or special level of effort. That it would have been an easy pass to catch. Is that what they mean by clear and obvious?
I'm glad they didn't overturn the first one. Because I think that starts to set the bar of how they were going to call
it. Is that
what...
And they might be actually saying that now, and we're not really understanding what the hell they're trying to tell us.
Right. We see it. We know guys. I think they look at it, too. And these back judges, these side judges, when you ref in this league, you understand some guys play that way. Like, Ty Law made a living doing that. Deion Sanders. It's that natural little grab and tug where you kind of get away with it, but you grab the belt, and you got to know. And it's got to be with the offhand. It can't be, like, with that front hand. It fights through it. Like, guys do that. Guys do it all the time. How many more years would Gronkowski play if this was going to be the rule and that's how you were going to call it? You know?
All right, let's talk more about this game on Saturday night. Get to your calls. We got open phone lines. There's a bunch of guys who didn't play in Saturday night's game? Are they locks for the roster? No, I'm not talking about Tom Brady. I'm not talking about those sort of obvious names.
Dude, you don't think he's a lock?
He's obviously a lock. I got some other names to give you. We'll go over the list coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.